This is the second part of a series that I'm doing, and it came from just a word study, starting with the English word that shows up in the New American Standard Translation, and it's the form of the word consider. Consider, considered, considering. That's the three forms that show up in the New American Standard in the New Testament Greek. So I've entitled these series of messages I'm going to do. I don't know if there'll be three or whatever. Three probably at least, as all things considered. And it's, I wrote that up there in Greek, and I'll put down how you would read that in English momentarily. But it's a form that we see translated, a Greek word, the form we see translated more than any other Greek word in the New Testament in the form of consider, considered, okay? It's the one that shows up more than any other Greek word. So we'll look at that. So the way we would spell it in the English would be like this. I hope you can see that. Okay. Can't see it? How about if I bring her down? Okay, all right, no matter where I put it, I think you're going to have some glare. Does that help? For Claudia? Okay. Okay, it's logizomai. I'm saying that just to make it as easy as possible. Do you need to know this tonight? No. It's not going to be a test. But I want you to notice it looks like there's a word that's pretty apparent in the English that we would recognize. Logic. Okay, so that's the form, and it's a middle voice form. And we have voices in English, and we have tenses. English is primarily active and passive. In the Greek, one of the most heavily used verb forms is the middle voice. What that means is the subject, okay, active is the subject is doing the action to something. All right, I pushed Justin, okay? All right? The passive is, Justin pushed me. The middle is, I pushed myself. You get that? You don't do that, but that's what the middle voice means. It's something that the action's being done to yourself. Heavily, heavily used in the Greek, and for obvious reasons, because a lot of the New Testament teachings are calling us to do something to ourselves. See? It's not asking you to do it to others, or to be have it done by others to you, although that those two types of teachings do exist in the New Testament. Predominantly, it's the middle voice where God is saying, I'm asking you to do this to yourself. See, it's a whole different way of looking at things. And that's what I want you to understand what we are going to talk about tonight. So this form of the word shows up 44 times in the New Testament. Okay, and then it has two compound forms of this. So whenever you see O-M-A-I, O-M-I, A-M-I, that's the way it's supposed to be said. This is a short O, it'd be a short O. A long O in the Greek looks like a W. It's called the omega. This is called the omicron. Okay, so it's got a short O sound. So whenever you see A-M-I on the end of a Greek word, and that's in case you decide you're going to get out your Olive Tree Bible app and start looking up the Greek number, which is, I think it's 3049, if I remember correctly, G3049. And I'm going to ask you, if you're all now really interested and want to do that, just hold off for a little while, okay? But you'll go and you'll look and you'll see that am I, all right? That's middle voice. Those endings are middle voice. And there's a way of you decline those forms of verbs so that you know it's middle voice. And it tells you immediately, this is something I'm doing to myself. You don't even have to know what the word means. It's just something that you can look at that in the Greek and go, oh, that's something that's a middle voice. It's something being done to me, okay? Or being done to the individual themselves, okay? So laying that out, there are two compound forms of that word where they put prefixes in front, and one of them is ana, and that would be spelled A-N-A. In the Greek, an N looks like a V. So it's AVA, alpha, nu, alpha, all right? And then the other one that this shows up in is one we're very familiar with is the prefix para or para, P-A-R-A. And again, a P in Greek looks like the pi sign that we use in math. And the you know, the R looks like a P in Greek. So it's pi, alpha, rho, you know, looks like a P, alpha, all right? That has several meanings. We know that form of the word because of the Greek verb, you know, and but the Greek noun of parakletos. It means along or by, the side of. But in certain usages of the language, now here's where language is important. All you guys thought, all that English I took in school, why am I doing this? So that you could listen to Kevin give you a Greek lesson tonight. See? And you're all going, I still don't know why I had to learn. Okay, well, okay. It's important. Okay, so Anna is a prefix that means, when you put it, or para, excuse me, is a prefix that means not only alongside or by, but in certain usages, certain cases, okay, genitive case, accusative case, you know, all this nominative case, all this, right? Certain cases, that para in front can mean in opposition to, opposed to. That word, logizomai, when it has para in front of it, shows up twice in the New Testament, and it is being presented in its usage and understood by the scholars to mean in opposition to. And we're going to look at those two tonight. Okay, and we're going to look at some uses for this word of logizomai up there. Not just in where it's used in consider or it's used consider or considered, but the other uses, how it's translated in other ways. Okay, the Apostle Paul in his letters uses that word. It's 44 times in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul uses it every time, I think, but for five or six. 38 times the Apostle Paul is using them. 19 times in the book of Romans. 10 times in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Now think, what's going on in the book of Romans? And what's going on in 1st and 2nd Corinthians? If you know the subject matter in those letters, Romans is contrasting law with faith. 1st and 2nd Corinthians is Paul is contrasting righteousness with wickedness, but he's also contrasting true apostles with false apostles. See? Contrast. Remember I told you that you can learn a lot of stuff in the Greek or just from reading your scripture closely. You don't need to know the Greek. Most word-for-word translations are fairly reliable. Okay, but if you just read closely, you'll see that the scripture is good at doing comparing and contrasting on purpose. What is it trying to get you to do? What I've been trying to tell you guys is important for many, many years. It's called appraising and valuing. So it's constantly going. We do it every day in every decision we make in our life. We appraise and, okay, here's an option to make this decision. What's the value if I make it or I don't make it? If you don't make a decision, by the way, you've made a decision and that value will come back to you. Okay? So we want to look at this word because we're looking at all things considered. So when God is saying, consider yourself, you know, important stuff's being said here. Now, what does this word mean at its essence? Okay, I told you it's got the word logos in it. Word, okay? And you can look up the definition for logos if you'd like. I don't think you need to do it tonight, but it's got, it's a very multifaceted use in that word and understanding that the Greek people had in the use of that word. We think of logic and we kind of have an idea what that is. Well, you got to be rational and you got to think step by step to get to draw a conclusion. And that's kind of where we stop with it. But there's more to this word in the Greek language than just that. There's estimation that goes on with it. There's just a bunch of things that go on in the use of this word. Okay? But what this word means at its core, and I've actually spoken about it twice, a couple of times in my Lord's Suppers, in the last, you know, the first message I brought in reference to all things considered was back in July. I was not scheduled to preach in August, but I did have a Lord's Supper at, I think in the end of July, if I remember right, and then I had the Lord's Supper at the park You know, and many of you have come up and said, oh, yeah, you got up on your ice box. Yeah, you know, that's what you guys all remember. That didn't work as well as I'd hoped. But I talked about this word, okay? So I don't know that I told you that's what we were talking about. But if you remember back in July, I talked about Abraham and his view of when he took Isaac to offer him as recorded in Hebrews 11, okay? I think it's 17. It says, he considered that God was able to raise men from the dead. That's that word. And for those of you that were here that remember that Lord's Supper, I told you that this word at its core means to count, but really it means you're making an inventory. Why? Because you're going to inventory to come to a conclusion, to arrive at a value. See? What's God working on? He knows that all of us have come out of the world with baggage. Very few of us come into Christ, have been raised completely in the church, taught soundly our whole lives, paying constant attention to everything that's said. We know that's not true. So we wander off, we make mistakes. Many of us were not raised within the church, okay? And we come into the church, we have all these bad habits, all this way that the world has taught us to think, right? Because the prince of the power of the air is out there, man. He's working his program, isn't he? You know? Those Christians are nuts. You know? Right? And so you hear that all your life. Then you come into Christ and you're like, man, I got to change the way I think. So God says, okay, let's let you do a personal inventory of what was going on when you were in the darkness. And here's the inventory of what happens when you come into the light. And then you start to value things appropriately. Because you're being honest in your evaluation of what happened back then versus what God's plan presents as the opportunity for us now and going forward. So God is a rational, logical God. He came as the Word, incarnate. The Word came, right? Dwelt among us in the flesh. So he came to give a reasoned, rational explanation of himself. And he said, guess what? I'm going to leave a record and you get to inventory it. And see, is this, you know, does this look like it's valuable? This record that was left for us, this Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Man, the Son of God, claimed all that? See, these are what we need to do on an individual basis and what we do with others when we are teaching them, you know, about the truth of the Bible and about what the Bible says about the plan of salvation, because everything we're going to teach that comes from the Bible in the religious marketplace is going to fly in the face of the overwhelming perceptions that are out there in the religious marketplace. It is going to just go pop them in the nose. Okay? If they look at it and go with what it says, it just pops you in the nose. So we need to understand what's going on. And so this word shows up 44 times in the New Testament. Right? So I want to start with the ones that are the paralogismo, okay? Those, and it's twice. And the first one's in James. We're going to go to James. And Brother Lorenzo talked about this in his morning class, and then I just made mention of this word, and I don't know how much is remembered by you guys. Doesn't matter. But this is where this word paralogismo, the opposite of inventorying, okay? Right? Let me see here. Where do I want to start? Verse 21 of James 1. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Number one, you're not going to do that if you don't believe the word is true. Again, so what have we done? James is already inventorying this, guys. You got the inventory right? Okay. Verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who misinventory themselves. Did you catch what I said? It says delude, doesn't it? It means you've misreckoned or misinventoried something. And it has to do with the word, and it has to do with if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he or she, that person is like a man or a woman who looks at their natural face in a mirror. For once he has or she has gone away, has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgot what kind of person he was. What are they doing? Forgetting things or misinventorying, or, right? They're not reckoning correctly. Now that word, logizomai, I just gave you a big clue, is in the book of Romans a bunch as the word credited or reckoned, depending on what translation of the New American Standard you have. 77 and earlier, a lot of times it'll say reckoned. And Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That, a Greek guy would understand. It's just like I'm working on a ledger in a business. I just move what this guy did and I put it in this ledger and gave him credit for this. Okay, so that's really, you know, one of the backgrounds, the roots, and the understandings of that word in the Greek that existed before it even got started being used in a spiritual sense in the New Testament. So that's why when we started to study, I went back and we read 1 Corinthians 2, and I said, you know, we combine spiritual words with spiritual thoughts because we appraise all things from a spiritual perspective. Natural man isn't going to get any of this, brethren. Won't get any of this stuff that the New Testament lays out as is important. They'll blow right by it. So that's why you got preachers like Nolan, and you know, we had Luke here for many years. We got Brother Jay up in Bozeman and Mark Miller in Missouri. You know, the guys we know, Steve Doty back in Michigan, my son-in-law out there in Ohio. Many of them that we know and hear, you know, Kirk Heimbaugh's up in eastern Montana. Why are they constantly just boom, boom? Because some of us just plain are not paying attention and we're not running the inventory. Okay? So it's good for me to remind you of these things again, says the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, right? It's no trouble for me, and it's a safeguard for you. So to hear repetitive preaching is a good thing. It's a good thing, right? So hearing the Lord's Supper every week is really important. Really good, because you're doing a little inventory there. Okay? All right? So that's James, where the first accounting of this word is misinventorying, misreckoning. I just got to make sure I got my notes out so I don't miss the two ones or the three things I want to talk about tonight. Okay, so, alrighty. The other one is in Colossians 2. I knew that. Okay, Colossians 2, verse 4. Go to Colossians 2, verse 4. Again, we're comparing and contrasting, aren't we? We're inventorying or we're misinventorying. Colossians 2. Verse 1. The Apostle Paul. Interesting, he's using the forms of his word. For I want you to know how great a struggle, I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance, not insurance, but assurance, of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Notice he says that before he gets to verse 4. What's going on out there? Well, there's a whole lot of stuff being said that are trying to mislead people in their thinking, isn't there? Trying to create a different inventory system to mess them up. Verse 4, he says, I say this, so that, now you know why he's saying that, no one will misinventory you with persuasive arguments. See, guys are going to come up, gals can do it too, in personal conversation and lay out all this information. And what are they trying to do? Get you to think a different way than what God has said is important. All the wisdom in reference to everything that we need is in Christ. So Christ tells us to do some things that are really counter or contrary to what the world says. Christ says, all right, if somebody says, walk with me for a mile, go to them. We're like, what? Somebody else asks for your coat, give them your shirt too. What? Right? Hey, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Why? Why does he? You know, so you start running the questions here, man. Why? Okay, so that's the paralogizomai. Notice it's, you're going to reckon or inventory or count things properly or regard things rightly, or you're going to be deluded. That's what the scripture's saying. If you're not doing it right, you're deluded. Okay? So I just wanted to get that out as just kind of a way to introduce this tonight. Okay? So, the other word is analogizomai, and I talked about that last time I was up here in July. Anna, when you put it in front, A-N-A, when you put it in front of a verb, okay, in the Greek, it usually means repetition or intensity. That's its primary two meanings. There's a third meaning to it, but for the sake of night, we won't get in it. So it's either repetition or intensity. Now, you can imagine if we're talking about inventorying something, you might go, oh, that would have to do with probably repetition. But actually, in the case where it's used in Hebrews 12, and I mentioned this in passing in the park, I didn't read the verse per se, but I kind of mentioned it in passing. In Hebrews 12:3, well, actually, we've got to read 1 and 2 to get the context here. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, after all the hall of fame of faith individuals are laid out for our benefit, right? Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This isn't a sprint, it's an endurance race. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, and we knew what the joy is, it was the throne and the throng back home and bringing you with him, okay? The joy set before him endured the cross. That's how he endured it, despising the shame, saying, this is, no matter what kind of shame you try to lay on me, no way, it ain't sticking. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For, consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Why? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Gives you the picture of the importance of Christ, where you should be fixing your gaze on him in a resurrected state, understanding he's ruling on behalf of his church. He is the ruler of all the universe. Even when things look like they're going bad, they're going right. You know, we've all heard that many times in this assembly, all right? But why is that? It says, consider. Consider what he was willing to go through. Now, the use of this word, brethren, that's at Anna. And this is saying, this is a type of considering, a thinking that's involved here, that you don't just repetition. This is the kind you stop and you really think about it. I mean, you really think about it. Wow, consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners. Let me see, what kind of hostility did he endure? Just go through, you know, what, you know, if you've never seen The Passion of the Christ done by Mel Gibson, it's very heavily bent on Catholic ideas. But one thing it does really well is it presents the picture of what Christ went through before the Roman authorities. And it will, forgive my pun, tear you up as you watch them tearing him up. What's God saying? You need to really think about this. So, you know, all of us had the same experience that went to that movie in the theater. We came out, everybody I talked to, everyone went to that movie and came out, you know, even that weren't present with us, came out and said, that theater, when that movie stopped and lights came on, it was so quiet, you could hear a pin drop on that carpet. Why? They were all considering what they'd just seen, hadn't they? That's exactly what was going on. Boom! What impact, right? Consider. See, so That's why I try and get you guys engaged. And you come across something you read that's interesting in the scripture, just start a word search on, hey, that's an interesting word. I wonder where that goes in the New Testament. You know, just do something with it. See where it takes you. You'll be amazed what you might find out. Okay? Again, I'm assuming you got a little time to do this. All right, so that's the two that use the prefix. And we're almost to 8 o'clock, so I just want to take a look at a couple of things. We'll pick this up next time I'm up in front of you. And we'll continue looking at this word. And the reason I want to continue looking at it again is because it's used overwhelmingly as the word considered, versus any other of the Greek words. And there's about 14 or 15 that are used in the New Testament that are translated consider or considered or considering. Okay? It's just used so extensively. It has to do with this inventorying, this counting, this imputing, this numbering, this reckoning, this supposing. You know, all these thoughts that are going on. So to me, it's like when this word shows up this much, and it's translated in the New American Standard so many different ways, okay, I've got to take a look at this. What is the Lord, through the Spirit, trying to communicate to me? And am I getting it? The value of this. Am I appraising it right? All right, so, now again, this is New Testament word 3049. 44 total uses, you'll see it. It's used extensively 19 times in the book of Romans. All right? So, just to give you a basic idea how this word is used, go to the Gospel of Mark, then we're going to go to Luke, and then to John. We're going to do this real quick. Just going to show you that the basic understanding of this word from like a business perspective or a mathematical perspective has to do with just counting. Mark 15. Then we're going to Luke 22. Then to John 11. Okay, Mark 15. Luke 22. John 11. Mark 15, 28. They crucified, verse 27. They crucified two robbers with him, the him being Jesus, one on his right and one on his left. Verse 28, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, and he was numbered, inventoried, counted with transgressors. Luke 22. Verse 37. You can see the same thing here. Parallel passage. Luke 22:37, for I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with transgressors, for that which refers to me has its fulfillment. They said, Lord, look here, two swords. He said, oh, that's enough. He knew what was coming. Now this is Jesus speaking here. Notice that? Maybe you never caught that before. Okay, John 11. Verse 50. But we're going to back up a few verses. This is when they decide that Jesus is building too big of a movement. Got to get rid of this guy. You know? Got to figure out a way to railroad him and get rid of him. That never happens in politics. Okay, so 47. We'll begin. Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, what are we doing? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all. Nor do you take into account, that's that word, logizomai, that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people and that the whole nation not perish. Hey, man, you guys haven't done the proper inventory. We just kill one, done. One and done. Didn't quite work, did it? Because he rose from the dead. All right. A couple more quick ones, then we're going to roll it up for tonight. And we'll pick it up next time up. Is there some benefit to this? I hope there is. Just make you think a little bit about what you're reading? I hope it does. Okay. Why word studies, I think, are valuable. All right. And it's to get a deeper understanding. Not to wrangle over words, but we are supposed to use spiritual words for spiritual thoughts, right?
All right. Acts 19. All righty, let me see here. Maybe I'm in the wrong chapter. All right. I got the wrong verse here, but I think it's verse 27 is where I wanted to get to. I think this is the verse. 19:27 says, not only is there danger that this trade of ours falls into disrepute, this is Alexander and the boys there, you know, making, or Demetrius, excuse me, and the boys making sure that their business of making these little mini idols isn't, you know, gone to the wayside because, you know, this Jesus guy that Paul's preaching could have a huge impact on our business model, okay? Not only is there danger that this trade of ours fall into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great god Artemis be regarded. This is where it's used as regarded. Numbered, counted as what? Worthless. And that she whom all of Asia and the world worship will even be dethroned from her magnificence. These guys were smart enough to take a look at the opposition plan, going, hey, we're going to get wiped out here if we don't stop this thing or elevate what we're pushing and get it done right now. This is exactly what the devil does. And he's trying to stop the thought process that God is placing into his people's minds, and he's trying to stop it in its tracks. So if he can just get you to think the wrong way or appraise things the wrong way and stop you, or just get you to be apathetic, he's won. See, these guys recognize our business plan, we are in big trouble. Our way of living, gone if we don't stop this thing. Well, could the reverse be said about if you proclaim Christ? Could you lose your living because you're proclaiming Christ in the face of those who say, yet we'll have none of that here? What can you do in the workplace and what can you not? You can talk about homosexuality. You can talk about transgenderism. I mean, we've got a long list, right? It's just fine. But you bring up Jesus Christ. Ah! You've gone too far. Fired. Right, Drew? Happened to Drew. So, again, brother, I want you to think about this, and we'll pick it up next time I'm up. God's asking you to logically number, count, regard, whatever you want to use, all right, take into account the things that he's telling you to put value on. Because we are engaged in a spiritual war that is going to cost us something. Okay, David said, I will offer no sacrifice that costs me nothing. Well, what did God say to the Christian? He said in Romans 12, the Apostle Paul said, present your bodies as a holy and living. What? You guys were really quiet on that word. Present your body a holy and living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. What was that word you said? Sacrifice. What? Sacrifice. Still didn't hear you. Sacrifice. Are we ready to sacrifice? I don't think we're many months away from big sacrifices. Yeah. Just the things that are going on in the political realm. Anytime you want to get the people under control, one of the first things they do is they make sure they control the food supply and starve you. I wonder what's going to happen to Europe this winter. Yeah. High energy prices, no food. Starve you into subjection. That's why I ate a steak last night, because I'm not sure many months from now we're going to be eating steak. You know, might be bugs. Seriously. That's what the Reset Boys want you to eat. Bugs. You'll eat bugs and like it. Okay, now look, I'm not trying to be a downer here. I'm just saying, guys, look, I've been telling you. And some of you think, oh, here's the politics. I'm just telling you, we're in a war. Satan's controlling the powers okay, that are arrayed against the church. And his ultimate goal is to shut us down and shut our mouths. And so he's going to do it the way it's always been successful, with enslaving people and shutting them up. Many of us know there are many that are afraid to say anything public because of the type of social beating, social media beating you'll take for making a stand on certain issues. Okay, so tonight what I'm trying to get you to think about, are you inventorying spiritual things and placing the proper value on them? If you are, no matter what comes, you will stand. Praise God! And I believe we can do that. But if you're not, you know, we all get to find out where we're at. We do. We're all going to get to find out. You know, I just really believe what's coming down the pike, we're not ready for. I mean, the United States of America, and I'm hoping the church is ready. There's some really serious stuff coming, brethren. Powers that be are working the levers. So, the assembly, how important is that? Right? How important. This is where we get strengthened and encouraged. Amen? Amen. All right. Hey, I really appreciate your guys' attention tonight. We'll pick this up next week, and we'll move into the more of the terminology where it's translated, considering, considered, that kind of stuff, because that's going to really focus in on us. But we'll also look at some of the other ways this word is used throughout the New Testament, because we need to count these things and appraise them and value them appropriately. Let's stand. Let's pray. Great God, Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty God, you are the eternal Father. You are the wonderful counselor. You bring us the wisdom that we need to understand through your word. So grateful that you are the Prince of Peace, that you brought that peace that we now have if we're in Christ between us and you. And we know that you've entrusted that ministry of peace. You call it reconciliation, but that's peace. You've entrusted it to us and asked us to understand and appraise properly who we are as your people. We're ministers. We're ambassadors sent from heaven with a message of reconciliation, of peace. So I'm grateful that you have entrusted that to us. That just communicates to me incredible confidence that you have in your church. And so it helps me to see your confidence and to share it not only to myself, but to share it with my brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the means by which you've guaranteed the end result victory will come. So we can do this because you have made us adequate. So we're appreciative for that. So Lord, please bless the brothers and sisters as we prepare to depart from here and head to our homes. Help us to consider this week, really seriously consider some of the things that we've talked about tonight. And to think about, have I thought really about that to the degree that I need to? These concepts that are present in the Scripture, do I really understand them the way that you want me to understand them? And if I do, am I able to communicate it to others effectively to encourage them and to build them up and to equip them for the work of service? We all have a job to do, and it's to reach out to those in the darkness around us, but also to edify and build up the brothers and sisters in Christ. So important that we place the proper value on those in Christ so that we can get the job done for those who are still in darkness. Thank you for your patience, your perfect patience, your incredible mercy demonstrated towards the world as a whole, but to each one of us individually, that we would contemplate that. And then really, really think about what you are willing to go through, as we talked about tonight. The hostility you were willing to endure because it was your clearest message you could send to us of your incredibly deep love for us. So we love you because you first demonstrated your love for us. Remember, we are the ones who make the first move as Christians. That is part of our work of service. Thank you again for all you've entrusted to us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've given to us, the seal, the down payment, the pledge that we belong to you, and it bears witness with our spirit that we indeed are children of God. We belong to you. Thank you again for all the blessings you give us in Christ. May he be glorified. May the majesty come and resonate through the proclamation of his name as your church as we go forward with the gospel. We pray this, that you would be glorified, Lord Jesus. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.